time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Maloney, what's on the mind of the driver of the on-time machine?
Who will have more touchdowns in 2019? 61% say Cardinals wide receivers. 39% David Johnson.
Ooh, it's like David Johnson versus the field.
That's a good one right there. It really is.
Who came up with that question? There's no way our station did. That's a brilliant question.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say that it's going to be the field.
You're going up. I mean, when you say that, you're actually going. This question defines the pro rate. I mean, it really
defines
the entire pro rate, because if we're talking air raid, there's no doubt what's going to happen. Oh my gosh, what a no-brainer. Of course wide receivers are going to score more in a Mike Leach offense.
Sure.
But in this, you're going with Fitz, Kirk, and a bunch of rookies over how is the pro raid going to use David Johnson?
Can I just tell you this, Masonians right here, that with this offense, the offense I suspect to see from Cliff Kingsbury, the pro raid, as Doug Lees has named it, David Johnson is actually more effective, more impactful when he's in the queue, in the shotgun. He's going to impact defenses more when he's actually in the backfield, because you don't know what they're going to do with him now. You don't know. It's the mesh point with Kyler Murray and David Johnson.
I love the question. I'm going to go with David Johnson because they didn't say David Johnson running back. They just said David Johnson. If I'm comparing his rushing touchdowns, I'm taking the field. But since they said touchdowns generically, I think David Johnson will have more total touchdowns than the rest of the receivers, because a lot of them may be receiving touchdowns.
Matt, I hope you are right there. But the impact of that mesh point, again, that is a scary. Scary is on the wall. Scary is on his way.
That makes you think a lot. That's a fantastic question about the entire offense and what it's going to be next year.
I mean, Kyler Murray is going to here you've got that mesh with David Johnson, two guys that are terrifying when in the open field. Two guys, I hope David Johnson is everything that we saw from David Johnson all the way back when he was ripping it up with BA, period, in 2016. I hope it's everything that we saw, and I believe it to be that. He just needs the opportunity again. Now, will this offense give him that opportunity? Yes.
And a little bit more specifically, what will Cliff Kingsbury do? I'm sure there's Sean Kugler is sitting there as an O-line coach, and he has had to have watched every Bruce Arians play call since the beginning of time. I mean, every Bruce Arians call from the success of David Johnson. And Kugler knows Bruce Arians very well from them being in Pittsburgh.
Cooks.
So if he's there in a game telling Cliff, we got to do this.
He does.
Will Cliff listen?
Yeah, that's a great thing.
Or will Cliff go, no. I'm successful when we throw. And here's Kugler saying on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, this is what their defense does when we run power.
Right.
Let's stay with it. Let's go. It's working. Don't go into your pro raid. Stay with this.
Please tell me that's going to be the case right there. If that's the case, they're going to blow it up right now to a point where I'm all, you know what? I got a freestyle, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to drop some bars, is it not, Bear? Let's go ahead and do this. Yes, it is. Here we go. Oh, little Tupac. Yes. Here we go. The mighty looks great, his feet real pretty. Throwing the ball and meshing with dirty. The ball going deep, the rock coming out. Feet on the goal line, hitting the 30. Standing in the gun, now under center. Handing the ball off. Playing to the whistle, running and throwing. The dude is nasty. Floating through defense, the down of a thistle. Ha ha! I'ma talk Kyler, y'all. I'ma talk Mighty, y'all. I'ma talk Murray. I'm talking Kyler, Murray, y'all. Ha 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 ha! Just dropping some bars right here based on the inspiration that I'm seeing out there because, again, going to the OTAs, he looks really, really good, ladies and gentlemen. That's not going to be a surprise to anybody out there, right? Because he looks good. He's Kyler Murray. He's loaded with talent, loaded with skill. He's running around, right, like a madman. And so is Kevin White, by the way. Kevin White looks really, really good at wide receiver. Now, here's a guy who played in 14 games. 14 games in 4 years. Oh, my goodness. If somehow, some way, the Arizona Cardinals can get 4 games out of him, 4 games, the impact of Kevin White is going to be significant. This is an incredibly, incredibly talented human being. Just looking at him catch the ball and run with the ball and run by some people, it's really encouraging right now. The speed. When you talk about the pro raid, you need to talk about open grass. You hear this all the time, right, Douglas? The air raid and the pro raid and open grass, and you're attacking open grass in particular. You know what they mean by that, Basinonians? They mean horizontally, you're attacking the field in a horizontal fashion, and you're attacking it in a vertical fashion. Open grass. And when you have open grass, do you know what you need? You need speed. And this is the thing. I'm really very interested in seeing how it all comes together because you've got a quarterback. Start with a quarterback who's running a sub-4.4. You've got a running back who's running a 4.4 in David Johnson. You got a wide receiver in Christian Kirk who's running a 4.1. You got a wide receiver in Andy Isabella who's running a 4.3.1. A 4.3.1. You have no idea what a 4.3.1 looks like. When you watch that guy run when you're up close, it is freaky. You can see it. You got guys that have speed. Kevin White running a 4.35. It is going to be really, really interesting to see what this offense can do when they attack that open grass.
Bear, when you get a chance this weekend, I'm sure you're not doing much. Will you look up every lyric in the history of rap and find the word thistle in it, please?
The dawn of a thistle. You love that.
Did Tolkien ever rap?
Handing the ball off, playing to the whistle, running and throwing. The dude is nasty, floating through defense. The dawn of a thistle. Bruh.
There's no bruh. Coming up next. When talking about Devin Booker, Monty Williams did not say thistle.
If I was in his position, my head would be clouded a little bit.
Ooh. Huh? That's huge. And that's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Are you talking to me? Mikal Bridges. Ray, Specs, Arms, Ray, Specs, having a wingspan of a condor. You're gonna take off next year, yeah.
Your Pantera call-out is driven by AutoNation with 13 dealerships in the Valley and over 100,000 new and pre-owned vehicles at AutoNation.com. Find what you're looking for today. The Williams on Woj, not a new podcast.
Okay.
Monty Williams, head coach of the Phoenix Suns, was a guest on the Adrian Wojnarowski podcast. And it's one of those, I'm already excited, I admit.
Yes, just talk to Monty Williams.
To talk to Monty Williams, you know, throughout the year and get to know this man of the things he says. He's just walking accountability. It's all he is. He's just walking accountability. And the way he lays things on the line about things, and I love what he said about Devin Booker, because we all know it's all about Devin Booker. Yet here's the most important thing. The only person that has to understand it's not about Devin Booker is Devin Booker.
Yes.
Everybody else has to understand it.
Amen.
But the second he believes it's all about Devin Booker, it's over.
Don't
it's
buy
over.
The hype.
Now, unless the only time Devin Booker should have an ego to say, do you know who I am? He gets one person he can say that to.
Yeah.
That's Jimmer Fredette.
Oh, Jimmer.
He can say it to Jimmer, but nobody else.
Okay. Get off, Jim.
This is what Monty Williams had to say about Devin Booker.
I feel Devin as an example. You know, he's had a lot of coaches. And if I was in his position, my head would be clouded a little bit. And so I want to be able to walk these guys through the process of becoming a good situation, a great culture. And that doesn't mean I have all the answers. That's why I'm in the process of hiring a really good staff, I believe, that can help nurture these young men, because all of them are competitive. The guys that I've talked to, Devin being the main guy, like that young man wants it.
That is so incredible right there. Honestly, every cut this guy plays is meaningful
to me. Don't you feel like the word finally? I do. I feel like the word finally.
This is a guy, obviously, that believes in dogma, Basinonians. He's got a philosophy. There's no doubt about it. But he also knows how to implement it. That's the thing that I have heard about Monty Williams over and over and over again. Now, listen, the one question they've always had is scheme, right? Scheme, being able to grease it up, the scheme. But I think he's a player's coach, and I think because of that, he allows players to go out and make plays, for lack of a better way of saying it, right? In other words, there's a lot of times, I think because he was a player, he doesn't want to insert himself into the end-all, be-all of winning games. I think he probably knows that players win games. Now, that's not to say that you can't scheme it up. You have to be able to do that. You have to be able to draw it up on the board. There's no doubt about that. But it's going to be interesting to watch this, the phase two of Monty Williams, if you will, in his second shot at becoming a head coach in the NBA once again.
There's so much good stuff here from Monty Williams, again, on the Adrian Wojnarowski podcast. I hope you don't mind me repeating this time and time again. I feel like you can just stamp the word sucker on my forehead, because I'm believing in the Suns every day that goes by. Every day that goes by, I'm getting more and more positive with the Suns. And I know there's no logic behind me feeling this way. So rip me all you want. But this is Monty Williams talking about, there's one thing that he totally believes is finally here with the Suns. Consistency.
We all do this, I believe, with these young guys. The league is so young. We expect these young men to know, have all of the answers right out the gate. Well, if we're not telling them and also being consistent and showing them, how do we expect them to do it on a consistent basis? Well, this particular team hasn't had that. And so that's the goal, is to provide them with consistency. And I really feel like these guys want it. In my conversations with all of the guys that I've talked to, they really want to be good and someday be great.
There's two.
How do you do that? How do you provide a team with consistency?
Well, there's two huge points there. Number one is it's all Robert Sarver's fault. I mean, to get here, that has to be step one, because Robert has to understand that the players won't tell you this, Robert, but I would have to assume most of them think you're a joke. And you don't like to hear that, but really think about it for a second. They've had all of these AAU coaches, some of them good. They've had some legendary college basketball coaches. They've had all of these people that have taught them the game. And then they have you, a banker, saying, no, do it like this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really think that that grabs them? Then, when they do something wrong and a coach points it out to them at the NBA level, now that they're a Son, guess what they're thinking? Why should I listen? You won't be here next year.
Mm-hmm.
Consistency yep. means accountability.
Listen, the stability, we've talked about this over and over and over again, the stability that is being offered right now. Devin Booker's never seen anything like
exactly.
this. He's never seen anything like.
And if Robert Sarver has this figured out, and this is, and I do believe in what Dan Bickley's been selling, that he kind of believes the door opening was the NBA article. That if you believe like me, the only way that article comes out attacking Robert Sarver's management style is if the league's shooting something over the bow here,
wow.
the firing a little cannon shot, saying, "Hey, we just want you to know." This is not going to go well for you if you continue down this path, because this is such a dynamic change. That's why I feel so positive in him. And then you hear the things that Monty Williams isn't afraid to say.
And I don't want to generalize the whole league, but I feel like we've lost the trust of players. If you look at players, how they're traded, how they're taught certain values, and then in the middle of, you know, a game or whatever the case may be, guys get traded, or it appears that way. If you look at the mistrust that some players feel about teams that have had them and promised them certain things and hadn't followed through, like across the league, there it feels like there's a mistrust when it comes to players and organization.
I'm so fascinated by this quote, because this is hugely deep. Because number one, if there is a mistrust, I blame the players. I mean, players, what do you think? You signed a contract that says I can trade you, then you're upset when you make $1 million and get traded. That's part of the deal. Who are you to get upset about it? Yet, some of the players are right. When a Toronto Raptors president tells you you're the guy we're going to build the franchise around, and 360 days later trades you,
yeah.
guess what? You're full of crap when you said it.
Yeah.
This is Monty Williams kind of sticking his neck out here. Because how does he know?
How does he know
what's right going to happen in
Listen,
the future?
I believe this.
I applaud him, but I'm scared.
I think what this is just Monty Williams and how he's going to deal with his players. I think this is more about Monty Williams than it is any franchise or organization. It's about Monty Williams and how he's going to go about building trust with his players. Now, that doesn't mean that ultimately the Phoenix Suns are not going to be in the NBA. They're not going to be in this mercenary league where guys do get traded. They do get traded right out under their feet. They do get traded while they're playing again. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It happens, and it's going to happen here. But I think what Monty's doing is trying to stress and emphasize the point of how he approaches his relationship with players. That's just a guess.
He even went further to say, don't use the phrase it's a business, even if it's true, because sometimes you use it to be a cop-out of your own responsibilities.
We in Phoenix and many teams across the league feel like we have to do a better job of letting guys know that we are there for them. There is a business aspect of it all, but the business isn't some cloud in the sky making decisions. The business is people making decisions that affect other people. And I feel like it's a cop-out when we talk about the business, because we always say it's a business. Well, yeah, that's a bit of a cop-out. It's people making decisions that affect other people. I think we could do a better job, and this is just me, of conveying the message that we do care about you.
Mm.
You know, that's awesome stuff right there. Not as awesome as this digital download right now. Could I have that, please? What do you say we go ahead, ladies and gentlemen? Not the digital download, as a matter of fact. The dramatic read. That's what I'm talking about.
And now, Ron Wolfley's dramatic read.
Sponsored by nobody, but loved by everybody. Today's dramatic read is read by me after hearing the Oklahoma drill was going to be eliminated from the football universe. You suck. Buttermilk. More on this as the summer unfolds.
Coming up next, they don't have to, but they want to. Words from a national baseball writer about trading Zach Greinke. It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. This was interesting today. One of the major baseball writers in America, Bob Nightingale, looked at Zach Greinke, and we asked him, hey, do they have to trade him at the trade deadline?
I don't think they have to, but I think they want to. If they get something good for return, do it now. You know, if not, you can still, you know, talk, you know, to everybody else, of course, and during the winter to all 30 teams. But I think, you know, hey, if the team wants this guy for the pennant race, now's the time to do it. Mm-hmm. And hey, they've already braced themselves. If they were really trying to win, obviously you don't trade a Paul Goldschmidt. You don't, you know, let Corbin and Pollock walk away. So, you know, if you can trade a Goldschmidt, you can certainly trade a a Greinke.
I love this topic, and I know a lot of you don't. I know a lot of you hate the topic of trading Zach Greinke. The reason why I like the topic, and I like it today, even though you're still 2.5 months away from the trading deadline, is because it's a stare down to the players in the clubhouse. Zach Greinke is doing his job. Are you? You know, and that's really where we are, because if we have 20 guys falling on their face, then why do we have Zach Greinke here? You're just not good enough to have a luxurious item. If you make, $15,000 a year, you don't go buying a Tesla.
Yeah.
Okay? It's just where you are in life.
Right. Well, some people do.
And that's exactly what the D-backs would be doing if they keep falling on their face and holding on to Greinke. You've got to, and I don't want people going after Mike Hazen. I go after the players in the clubhouse. You stare down the players in the clubhouse and say, you have this luxury item, and what did you do with it?
Yeah.
You're running Zach Greinke into the ground. Not the team, the players.
Yeah.
Because of wasting what you have, so why should he still be there? You don't deserve Zach Greinke. Now, there's no reason you make that speech. You know, that nobody's going to go in there and stand up to Adam Jones. You're screwing up. You know, these guys are trying, but if you're not getting it done, it's the reality of the situation.
You know, I go back to the Diamondbacks when they signed Zach Greinke, too, right? I mean, they had Paul Goldschmidt, and Paul Goldschmidt, was Paul Goldschmidt good, Basinonians? Was he actually making runs at MVPs when they signed Zach Greinke? Yeah, he was, as a matter of fact. I mean, this guy, I think they thought maybe the combination of Zach Greinke and Paul Goldschmidt would be enough based on their roster as well and other guys that they had that they could surround them with where they could be a playoff team, period. And once you got into the playoff, who knows? Who knows what could possibly happen, right? But I think on this one, in retrospect, even though he's got 2 years left on the contract, I would be surprised if Zach Greinke were still here after the trade deadline. I think he has restored himself. Remember the first couple of years of that contract, Zach Greinke wasn't lights out like he was the last year of his contract with the Dodgers, where he had an ERA of 1.68, I believe.
And I really like the way Bob Nightingale put it. I think they want to. He didn't say they do want to. He says, I think they want to. But there's one thing you have to know. There's no trade in baseball that is more difficult than a Zach Greinke trade.
Yeah, you're right.
And the reason why I say that is not just what you know as a very, very large contract. Not even just the no trade clause. Zach Greinke is a very strange dude. And that's not an attack. He's just so different.
Sure.
That there's a question on every general manager's mind. Would he succeed here? Would he succeed in my clubhouse, in my large city? You know, it's the big city teams that have the money. But the big city teams are not necessarily where Zach is great. Now, you're going to say, well, wait a minute. He was awesome in Los Angeles. I think we all know Los Angeles has so many Hollywood stars that it's almost like you can hide in Los Angeles as a low-level star.
Yeah.
And with Clayton Kershaw already there, you already have the people the media goes to, the horses, things like that. There are GMs that say, I want Zach Greinke, but I'm not giving you anything for him.
I just don't think it'd be that big of a deal anymore. I really don't think the contract as well. You look at some of the contracts that guys are signing all over the league right now. They're ridiculous, ladies and gentlemen. Absolutely ridiculous right here. The fact that you get, imagine if Zach Greinke, take away this last outing, his first outing and the last outing, and the last outing wasn't bad by any stretch of the imagination, but you stop and think about how dominant Zach Greinke has been this year for the Diamondbacks. Dominant. Pitching incredibly well once again. Oh my goodness, Zach Greinke. Now you got 2 years left on his contract at $32 million a year, both years. Okay? Is there somebody out there that could afford that especially if he was pitching the way that he was pitching and has been pitching all season long, you better believe it. If that's what they expected to get out of Zach Greinke, and what's so appealing about this, he's losing speed off his fastball. There's no doubt about it. Metaphorically and literally losing speed off his fastball, right? But he's becoming the Greg Maddux. That was a great comparison this morning. Bob Nightingale actually comparing him to Greg Maddux. That's exactly what he's becoming. A true pitcher that just outthinks you because of his IQ. His pitching IQ is better than your hitting IQ so much of the time. He adjusts to what you adjust to. His third time through the order, his numbers are just ridiculous. Sickening how dominant he is the third time through the order.
In an era where managers...
It's exactly right.
It's actually, it's almost changed. Not fully, but it's almost changed where the 100 pitch count doesn't mean as much as the third time through the order.
So I think there will be a market. I think he has restored himself, as a matter of fact. If he continues to pitch like he has all season long, I think there's going to be a market there.
Here's something I didn't know at all. This is kind of like a huge eye-opener. You assume if I give you who's the highest paid player in baseball just for this year, you're going to say, okay, is it Harper? Is it Machado?
Yeah.
Neither of them are top 10. Of course, there are huge amounts of money overall, but they're not top 10 for 2019. Zach Greinke is still the third highest paid player this year. Is Zach Greinke.
Oh, my goodness. That was one good contract he signed.
Join Burns and Gambo tomorrow, Chandler Harley, as they kick off the Memorial Weekend Freedom Event for your chance to get exclusive deals courtesy of Chandler Harley Davidson. Plus, we'll give you the chance to win D-backs and Phoenix Rising tickets while on site. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for complete details. Coming up next, Pulse Call has good news for Wolf that he's not the only one who's dead wrong today. It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Paul's Call is brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. Stop into one of their 20 Valley locations or online at brooklynbetting.com. Brooklyn Betting, helping you sleep better.
Hey, it's your call, man.
Oh, no.
It's your call.
No, it's your call.
No, no, it's your call.
Hey, nitwits, it's Paul's Call.
Man, if only life worked like this every day.
He has to keep proving himself every day.
If only my day went like this every day.
He has to keep proving himself every day.
If only Justin Pugh proved us right every day.
Man, I'm tired of being right.
I mean, usually I'm over here lamenting my life.
Life is like that.
Not today, because it's not every day when we are proven right.
You are correct, sir.
You know, gentlemen, there's being right. And then there's being proven right every day.
Correct.
Paul.
Right, Justin Pugh? That's enough of you, Wolf.
He has to keep proving himself every day.
I mean, are you listening?
I don't know what Wolf was doing.
If you got to say every day, you don't do it every day.
Don't even.
I'm not going to be ignored, Dan.
You know, it's your right to do whatever you want to do or don't do.
What are you going to do with your life?
Just know we're here to prove it every day.
I've been here when the cameras aren't here, buddy, right, and done the work.
In fact, henceforth and heretofore, Paulie Proclamation says... We might just have to dust off our favorite segment. Where is it?
Now.
I think Paul Calvisi said it best.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate that. You know what? That's yet another T-shirt I think we need around here.
He has to keep proving himself every day.
You're so wrong.
Adrian Wilson would like to talk
to you. You got
to
say it every day? Guess what?
Hey, A-Dub.
You're not doing it every day.
A-Dub doesn't pack. The Sawed Off Shotgun of Sports.
Oh!
Sports Takes and Free Tomas on SportsCenter.
Reno Aces. That's the minor league ball club for the Diamondbacks, or AAA affiliate.
Oh, shout out to our guy, John Anderson, over there. You know, we worked with Johnny back in the day at Channel Cinco. Name drama. J.A. is a master of the highlight voiceover.
Can I get four, like, hard-hitting Mark Whitten? Come on. Homers in the first, third, fifth, and eighth.
Yeah.
Tomas hits four homers and has eight RBIs.
We knew that. You know what he did the day after that? And then did again yesterday.
Yard.
Gone.
Another later tater.
Okay.
If you're scoring at home this week, Yasmani Nomas. Free Tomas has six homers in his last three games.
Boom, boom, boom.
The entire D-backs team in the last three games has scored a total of five runs.
Not good.
Your run total is getting out-homered by Yasmani Nomas. Getting swept in San Diego should be your wake-up call.
How about them San Diego Padres?
And that wake-up call should be made on the Sedona Red phone to Reno.
I do have one last comment.
That's right.
No. False call rule.
Not that call. Make the call to Reno, we say. You realize the last time you got swept in San Diego, Doug, it was 2013. Wolf still had the mullet.
How about those San Diego Padres?
No, I didn't.
So sick of the Padres.
Earrings?
Four straight games now, the D-backs have scored two or fewer runs.
My Padres, keep on keeping on.
Padres had a three-run first inning. The game was over. It was just done. And then, meantime, you got Free Tomas. He can make SportsCenter. But the guy who's raking.
See ya!
And making $15.5 million this year.
That watch costs more than your car.
Dude can make SportsCenter, but he can't make the D-backs weak sauce lineup right now?
I mean, what the hell is going on?
And now Peralta's hurt. So left field is where Tomas has been playing.
Yeah, that'll be an error on Tomas.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, that's a ball he didn't play very well.
Okay, that's a good point, Greg and Candy. But you know,
play, that is a point, Paul.
Here's my point. Play him at first base.
Absolutely.
I mean, hello. This just in, a certain Gold Glover at first base was recently traded.
That I was very happy to see.
We know, Dave Roberts. Just pipe down over there. And by the way, did you see what a AAA call-up just did for the Mets?
Got here about the third. He Ubered over, got ready, came out, hit a homer.
Manager Mickey Callaway on 38-year-old Rajay Davis.
Bueller.
Yeah, I don't know.
Bueller. Right.
He's on his eighth big league team in 14 seasons. Started his day in Lehigh, PA.
Got here around third inning?
Got there third inning. He actually took BP in the minors yesterday morning when he got the call-up.
Say my name.
Son, you're going to the bigs. Hop an Uber to the Big Apple. Two-hour trip. Cost $234.
Oh, we got to know each other.
His driver, Jason, originally from Brooklyn, so the dude knew the way. And then in the eighth,
this baby's gone. Rajay Davis with a three-run home run in his first plate appearance as a New York Met.
That was awesome.
Paul, he had to ride up with a stranger for over 2 hours?
Yes, Wolf.
Oh, my goodness.
That's one of your serious phobias, I know.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. Just, you know.
They didn't say he Ubered over from the airport. He Ubered over from the minor league park.
And Wolf.
I'm going to feign fatigue, Paul.
Wolf.
Take a nap.
To make it worse, I think he had to use a public restroom. You know, you're two big phobias. So, you know, it was tough for him. And then after the game, his manager basically said,
came inside, didn't know where the clubhouse was, how to get back in, had to ask some people,
right,
which way do I go?
The guy didn't know. I mean, he had
That's
no,
brutal.
I mean, you know.
I don't have a clue.
Yet the guy went yard, and the stinking Mets have now somehow won three in a row.
We're streaking!
Okay?
We're streaking!
Not just saying, we're just saying! Speaking of no clue,
yeah,
did you catch the act in Congress this week?
I put it to you, Greg.
Oh, no.
Remember
no.
our saying, reality is the best comedy?
Circus.
This is the housing secretary fielding questions from Congress, and this exchange really happened. Play the clip.
To explain the disparity in REO rates, do you know what an REO is?
An Oreo?
R? No, not an Oreo. An REO.
You're the housing secretary.
What?
And you don't know a basic real estate term.
REO.
Real estate.
What's the O stand for?
E-organization.
Owned. Real estate owned. That's what happens when a property goes to foreclosure. We call it an REO. Mm-hmm.
And blah, blah, and more blah, blah. But
well, he was just trying to obfuscate, right?
I don't think so, Wolf.
Paul,
the look of dismay on his face.
He's an REO Speedwagon fan, and he got confused.
I mean, really, Paul?
I get it.
Stop it.
He's hungry, and he needed a snack.
That just happened.
But an Oreo?
I think he was trying to obfuscate, Paul.
Big finish.
And now,
well, you gotta wrap this up. Speaking of obfuscation,
I'll be goddamn. Yeah.
And I get it. People make mistakes.
There were nine mistakes made ahead of me.
That's right,
and,
Josh.
I'll make sure.
Yeah.
For example, I'm not the only one.
What up, Kyle Reezy?
Who gets his name butchered?
Here's your host, Doug Fran.
Yeah. I mean, Doug. Even the Badger. These things happen in three.
I ran.
Mateau.
No.
And boom goes the dynamite. No.
I bring this up
bad moment, Gus. Bad
because
moment.
Mistakes, you know, some are just more costly than others.
With some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
It would fall.
Fine restaurant in London. Someone ordered a bottle of Bordeaux. It says here a 2001 Chateau Pichon Longvic. No idea. I mean, get Dave Passion here, and he'll tell me how this is pronounced.
Do it, Paul.
No.
Do it.
So at this restaurant, it's very busy, and it's very easy to confuse that order with a bottle of 2001 Chateau Le Pin.
Wrong glass, sir.
Here's the point. The bottle that the table ordered cost $330. What they got served, by mistake, was a bottle of wine that costs $5,760.
I'll be golden!
Just a $5,200 difference. The table drank it, not knowing it. Okay, a little Fortnite for you.
Yeah, okay, Paul.
And when the mistake was realized, the restaurant had to eat it. The bill, out. It was their bad.
Dang, nabbit.
Speaking of eating it, Paul, play it. Play it, Paul.
No, we're not doing the fava beans.
Don't have the rest, Wolf. Wolf, you're going to have to go ahead and...
All right.
It's self-serving right
Talk
now.
Talk about Long Island. Do something.
So anyway, people responded to Twitter saying, can I reserve a table with that waiter?
What an idiot.
Paul's gone.
Thank you, Paul.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo. I ruined a $6,000 pour one time with the steel pot.
Doug and Wolf.
Added too much carbon. My bad.
Just do it.
The U. Brought to you by Carol Royce. If you want to learn how to sell your house for top dollar, go to carolhasthebuyers.com.
My big takeaway is we all root for the man, but please don't send me tweets saying the D-backs offense is bad because they traded Goldie. His March, he's slugging .297 with one home run. You want your slugging to be above 500. He's at .297.
Wolf, we don't take requests.
I ate his liver with some fava beans.
Do it.
And a nice Chianti.
Oh, that wasn't it either. Dang it. Yes. Dang it.
Oh, don't you do it, Wolf.
Peace and strength.